Judges chapter 11. I'm just going to have you stand for one verse and then hold on to Judges 11 because I'll be preaching from that chapter primarily. Amen. I want to say thanks again for the beautiful service Sunday night, for the pastoral appreciation. Thank you for all the kind thoughts you expressed in your cards. And thank you for the gift certificates to help us to stay well-rounded. Amen. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Very interesting. God bless you. May be seated. I want to preach to you on the subject, a name better than your circumstances. A name better than your circumstances. In the Bible, names were prominent. Names really did mean something. There are some interesting names in the Bible, and there are names that were born out of circumstances. Some of you will remember the story of Joseph, the favored son of Jacob, that was sold into slavery by his brothers when he was in his late teens. So as a young teen, he finds himself going from the role of favored son to slavery. He finds himself in ropes and chains, dragged into a city, placed on a block somewhere, and sold. And he that was so full of promise became someone else's property in the house of Potiphar. But he applied himself, and with faith in God and faith in God's promises and faith in the dreams that God had given him, and in time he rose to prominence in the house of Potiphar. And as a matter of fact, while he was a very, very young man, he was over the whole household of a wealthy man. And he had control of his finances. And but at that time, the wife of Potiphar desired Joseph and tried to seduce him into immorality. But Joseph would not succumb. And because of that, out of her anger, she falsely accused him. And Joseph went from being favored in the house of Pharaoh to a prison cell, unjustly imprisoned for something that he did not do. Amen. Well, just when things seemed to be favorable, and just when things seemed like he would be able to survive them, he's plunged again into the darkness of despair, and he's thrust into a trial and such a difficult situation. But Joseph, with faith in God and faith in the dreams that God had given him, began to rise to the top of the prison. Wherever you are, rise to the top. If it's prison, rise to the top. If it's slavery, rise to the top. Wherever you are, do your best. Aim for the top. Amen. And so Joseph became over the prisoners. Now you say that's not much. Well, if you're a prisoner, it is. And so he finds himself again. He gets to a place and he can't go any further. That's as high as he's going to be able to go there. And so the Bible said a man's gifts will make room for him. The very thing that got Joseph into trouble, got him out of trouble. The gift that caused him to be in his situation is the gift that delivered him. Thank God for the gifts that He gives you. Amen. Hear me today. Thank God for the gifts that He gives you. You need to appreciate what the Lord has given you. I hear people sometimes speaking little and belittling themselves and putting themselves down, and that's not a good thing. Amen. To misappropriate and little appreciate what God has made you and what God has given you. Amen. Appreciate what God has given you, the gifts and the abilities that you have, and use them. Don't compare yourself to somebody else, but appreciate what you have and who you are and what God made you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. I like that. Thank you for saying that to me today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So appreciate that. So Joseph, it was a dream that got him in trouble. It was dreams that got him out. The baker had a dream. The butler had a dream. He interpreted the dreams. He said, now when you get out of here, remind Pharaoh that I'm in here unjustly condemned. Well, time went on. Seems he was forgotten. But Pharaoh had a dream. And in the time of his great trouble, he called for the interpreters. Nobody could tell him what the dream was. Nobody could tell him how to interpret the dream. And so the butler suddenly remembers, hey, there was a man in prison that had, he can interpret dreams. And so he's brought before Pharaoh, and he gives him, as we said earlier, the answer of peace that he was looking for. Amen. And in one day, this amazes me, and only God can do things like this. But Joseph, when he was 30 years old, went from being in the prison house to being second in the kingdom. Now that's quite a promotion. Amen. That is quite a promotion. Only God knew where he was, and then God exalted him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you prepare yourself, God can do great things in your life. Amen. God will do great things in your life. And so he exalts Joseph to this exalted position. Now, and he's blessed. He's second in the kingdom. He rides around in the nicest chariot, which today would be like a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or whatever. And he's tooling around in the finest of transportation. He's wearing the nicest robes. Amen. He's living in a mansion. He's got this golden chain around his neck that the king gave him. He's got the king's signet ring so that he can okay the king's business. Everybody's bowing and scraping before him. He's got a beautiful wife. Amen. But you know what? He couldn't forget his father's house. He couldn't forget his brothers. He couldn't forget his good old dad. He couldn't forget his home. He couldn't forget where he came from. He kept thinking of home. So when his son was born, he called him Manasseh. Manasseh means causing to forget. And this is what he said. He called him Manasseh, causing to forget, because he said, the Lord has caused me to forget my father's house. Now, that was not true. Amen. He still remembered. He didn't forget. Amen. I think he was trying to forget, but he couldn't forget. Amen. Now, the Lord was getting ready to reveal his entire purpose in just a little while. But he called him Manasseh, and it was in difficult circumstances. He gave his son a name that reminded him of his pain, and he said, I'm trying to forget my pain. And so he gave him that unusual name, Manasseh. And then he had another son, and he called him Double Fruit. That's a neat name, huh? Hey, Double Fruit, come on over here. Amen. They called him Fruity for short. I don't know. But his name was Double Fruit, or Fruitfulness. Amen. And that's what Ephraim means. It means fruitful. He said, because the Lord hath made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And so he gave his son a name that was better than the circumstances that he came into. It was not perfect, but it was so much better. And God had exceeded things that he could not have imagined would ever happen in his life. What 17-year-old would ever imagine a Jewish boy that he was going to be prime minister of Egypt, of all things? Amen. How many of you sitting here today could imagine being a prime minister in some country that's foreign to you? That's a God thing, isn't it? Amen. That's a God thing. But God does things like that. You say, oh, it couldn't happen to me. Oh, yes, it could. God could do some things in your life, maybe not exactly the same, but things that would startle you. Things that will amaze you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so God gives us a name sometimes. It's better than our circumstance. This man by the name of Jephthah. What an introduction. It said, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. Everybody say he's a mighty man of valor. That's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? He was a mighty man of valor. And then it says, and he was the son of a harlot. And that was the circumstances. Now, there was nothing he could do about that. We don't choose our parents. And he was born into very bad circumstances. He was born into a situation that his dad got himself into a bad situation. And he had to bear the brunt of the circumstances of his father's decision. Some of you today, you have had to bear things in your life that were not of your making and not of your doing. It was something that somebody else did or something that somebody else said, but you have had to bear the brunt of their decisions. It's not fair. It's not right. It's undeserved. But nonetheless, those are circumstances. And sometimes we are victims of circumstance. And that was Jephthah's situation. He was a victim of circumstance. And then verse 2 tells us that his father had some other sons by his wife. And those sons became jealous. And they actually thrust Jephthah out and said, you have to leave. We don't want you here. We're not going to share our father's inheritance with you because your mother's a harlot. We share the same daddy, but we don't share the same mother, and we want you out of here. And so he was thrust out and thrown out and disowned and on his own. Amen. The Bible then says, verse 3, that he dwelt in Tob. And it's a very interesting verse. It says that he went to dwell in Tob, and they gathered unto him vain men or worthless men. And they bonded together with him. And they went out raiding together. So in other words, Jephthah becomes the leader of the Tob mob. And they go out raiding and not against Israel, but against the Ammonites and the Moabites and the enemies of Israel. And he becomes a feared man. Amen. And he becomes, he was a mighty man of valor. He did have gifts, valid and valuable gifts. But nobody could see that. All they could see was the label that somebody put on him. They couldn't look beyond the fact of who his mother was, though he had nothing to do with that. And so they looked back to his beginnings, and he was scarred from the beginning. Amen. And so he grew up in that condition, and that was the situation that he had to grow up with. But somebody, I don't know who it was, the Bible does not say, but somebody gave him a name that was better than his circumstances. Somebody said, let's call this little boy Jephthah. Somebody held him in loving arms and said, this is Jephthah. His name means God will set you free. God will set you free. Somebody may have thought, all I can do, Jephthah, is give you a name. I can't control your destiny. I can't control the circumstances. I can't control what's going to come against you. I can't control the present situation. We can talk about it all day. There's nothing I can do about any of that. But I'm going to give you a name that's better than your circumstances. I'm going to call you, God will set you free. Amen. My, what a beautiful name. It's better than some. There's another harlot in the Bible gave birth to a daughter, and she called her Loruhami, which means without a people. And she called her son Loami, which means without compassion. Amen. But thank God somebody spoke a good name into Jephthah's life. Every time he said his name, every time somebody else said his name, it said, God will set you free. God will set you free. God will set you free. Amen. His name was better than his circumstances. Amen. There came a time a little later, verse number 4, when the Ammonites attacked Israel. When the Ammonites attacked Israel, they started looking for a leader. Here's the interesting thing. They cast him out, but not any of them had a name like his name. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even record their names. The only one out of the whole bunch we know is him. Isn't that amazing? They had a real high opinion of themselves, but apparently God didn't. He didn't even write their name. He said, the only one out of the whole bunch I'm going to talk about is Jephthah. And so he gave him a name. God will set you free. So he had established his reputation as a leader of a fierce band. And so when the Ammonites attacked, the elders, his brethren, came and sought him out and said to him, Jephthah, we want you to come and deliver us. Don't you know that was music to his ears? Don't you like it when stuff like that happens? I had a friend one time, and he's a golfer. And this guy, he wanted to play, and he didn't have a partner. And this other guy shows up, and he asked him if he could play with him. And the guy said, yeah. He said, you can play with him. He said, but you can just play 9 holes with me, and I got other things to do. And so the brother told him, he said, you're going to need me one of these days. And the guy laughed and said, what do you mean? He said, one of these days you're going to need me. Well, a little time passed, and he saw the man again. And they're in the same building and golf course, and they're in there, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to him, and he says, isn't that that Tom Landry over there? Tom Landry, of course, was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys for a millennia, and has a freeway named after him in Dallas and a few other things. He said, that's Tom Landry. And he said, is he going to play golf? And my friend said, yeah, I'm sure he's going to play. He said, man, I'd like to play golf with him. And my friend said, well, that's what I'm getting ready to do. He said, huh? He said, yeah. He said, we're friends. He said, well, I'm getting ready to play with him today. And his friend said, you got to let me play. And my friend said, see, I told you were going to need me. You know what he said? He said, you get to play 9 holes and that's it, bud. That's all you let me play. That's all you're playing and you're out of here. Amen. So life has a way of turning things around, doesn't it? It has a way of turning things around. Amen. So Jephthah then, he's all of a sudden, his brothers come and they said, "Oh, Jephthah, we need you. Come and deliver us out of the hand of the Ammonites." They knew he was good at one thing, and that was fighting. Kind of like a boy named Sue, if you remember that song. He grew up with a fighting attitude, and that's what he was good at. Amen. And that was his gift. And they said, "Come and deliver us from our enemies." And so they said to him that if you will fight for us, they said, "We're going to make you our head. You'll be the captain over us." Now that sounded good. He said, "No, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. If I come and fight for you, I'm going to get to be the head cheese?" Well, I'm paraphrasing, of course. And they said, "Yes, you'll be our head." He said, "Deal." Amen. Praise God. So Jephthah comes and he fights. And the Bible says in the book of Judges, chapter 11, verse 32, it says that the Lord delivered them into his hands. If I say the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. Amen. And he smote them from Aroer, even until they come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and under the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Then the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And so it was by the hand of Japheth that God brought victory to Israel. You see, God saved him. God gave him a name from the time of his birth, Brother Bacon. And he said, "I'm going to give you a name that's going to bring you through these things. You're going to have a tough life. It's not going to be easy. But I'm going to give you a name that's going to bring you through it." Amen. And that's exactly what happened. God brought him through it all. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32. The Hebrew writer said, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to speak of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David." Isn't that amazing? This is the book, the great book of the heroes. We call it the Heroes Hall of Fame. And his name's right there. Between the strongest man and the man after God's own heart. The son of a harlot has his name written in Heroes Hall of Fame. God gave him a name that was better than the circumstances. Amen. I'm here today to offer you a name. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I'm going to give you a name today that's better than your circumstances. Amen. An angel spoke to a little lady one time in a very similar situation. She was very misunderstood. It was a difficult time. Amen. Little teenager by the name of Mary of Nazareth had conceived a child, as far as people were concerned, out of wedlock. And tongues were wagging, and the air was blue with gossip. Everybody was talking about Mary. Even her own fiancé was having second thoughts when the angel of the Lord appeared and said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus had a name that was better than his circumstances. He grew up in the midst of gossip and scandal. People called him names and looked down on him. People said things about his mother. And it was not an easy way to grow up for Jesus. But I'm telling you what, he had a name that was better than his circumstances. Hallelujah. Thank God for that name. Thank God for that name. Thank God for that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter was standing one day, and the Bible said that they were ready to condemn him, all for the name of Jesus. And they said, "Don't speak in that name anymore." And he said, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. He said, no matter what else you may think, there's a man that was lame and now he's standing right here before you on both of his feet. And he's whole and he's well and he's healed. They couldn't deny that. He said, and this stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived them to be unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And there were two things they said about Peter and John. They said, you're ignorant and you're unlearned. But the next thing they noticed is they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, I'm going to tell you something changes. Amen. Something becomes different about you. Amen. It may not change, as far as people are concerned, some of the things about your reputation. And they may not think you're smart. And they may not think you're educated. And they may not think you're beautiful or popular. But one thing they'll notice is that you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get associated with Jesus Christ, it makes a change in your life. It's a noticeable, remarkable change. Amen. It's a name that's better than your circumstances. Praise God. It's a name that's better than your circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen. I've known through the years many, many people changed by that name. Every kind of people change. But every person I know that has been associated with that name, it made their life better. I've known some really, really good people, but that name made them better. I've known some really, really bad people, but that name made them better. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, if it were not for that name, we probably would never have heard of them at all. But thank God for that. It's better than your circumstances. It'll make you better. Amen. It doesn't matter where you come from. Amen. You can't do anything about that now. There's not a person here today that wouldn't like to change some circumstances in your life. You'd like to go back and make some decisions over and some things you'd like to do differently. But that's not an option. Amen. You can't undo things that are done. I'll tell you what we can do. We can take a name into our life that's better than our circumstances. Amen. And that's the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me today? Amen. I offer you a name. I offer you a name that's better than your circumstances. Praise God. Brother Grissom, our circumstances are not too good right now. Well, there's a name that's going to make it better. Hey, there's healing in that name. There's cleansing in that name. There's forgiveness in that name. There's restoration in that name. There's healing and strength in that name. There's peace and there's power in that name. There's righteousness in that name. It's a name that's above every name. It's better than your circumstances. Amen. Call on that name. Call on that name. Hallelujah. 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 Call on that name, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you're in trouble, call on Him. Amen. When life's very difficult, call on Him. When your situation seems almost unbearable, call on Him. When your future seems bleak, call on Him. Amen. There is a name that's above every name. Jesus. 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 Call on Him. Amen. Let me open up this altar for prayer here this morning. Amen. If there's a need in your life, there's an answer. There's a name waiting for you here that'll make all the difference. It'll make all the difference. Praise God. It'll make all of the difference for you. The name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a name that'll make all the difference. Hallelujah.